never been tested. I'd like to think that if I was, I would pass. Look at the tested and think there before the grace go on. Might be a coward, I'm afraid of what I might find out.
Never had to knock on wood, but I know someone who has. Which makes me wonder if I could. It makes me wonder if I never had to knock on wood, and I'm glad I have again, because I'm sure it isn't good. That's the impression that I get.
Hey there, friends and fans of Werder Bremen. Welcome to the live Werder Bremen post-game show. There's a fun little ditty going back to, I think, 1996 or something like that, back when ska was cool, and people on skate parks and BMX parks and whatnot thought that was great to listen to. I don't know. I'm kind of a fan. I used to skunk. I think it was called skunk, where they combined Skanking. Ska and punk. That was.
I thought you were talking about the dance skanking. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. You got your little fedora on.
Well, this is the show by the fans for the fans. If you are new to the show, this happens every Sunday. Fortunately, unfortunately, whatever. After the league matches are all over, it happens on the Podbean app. So if you get the Podbean app, you can join us when we go live. You'll have to forgive me. This is the second cold I've had in like, I don't know, 2 months. It's driving me bonkers, but it's what it is. And if you want to join us when we go live, you can jump into the chat. We already got a bunch of people joining us here. Nudes in Bio, which I'm assuming is Juan, is here. King Ian is with us. Geppy Salty's here. Le Chef, otherwise known as Horny Squirrel 10. Frings 22. Soonerverter is here. And of course, you heard the melodious tones of the co-host and reason everybody's here to see what the hell he's going to say this week. Christian. What it do?
What it motherfucking do?
Oh, read it again. Horny Squirtle.
You know, we haven't gone into the world of erotic Pokemon yet, so now's as good a time as any.
No
emphasis
don't.
On squirt.
If you don't have the time or perhaps the stomach to join us live, you can always catch the podcast afterwards, where you're able to fast forward certain bits of it.
Like 90% of it.
If you can't join us live, or if you want to reach out to us on social media, you can find Christian on Twitter at SVWOMYTFC, myself at Not Easy Green. And if you got large bits of mail that you want to send, and of course we're always looking for people to let us know about how they became a fan of the team. And so if you want to do that, you can send all of that stuff to noteasygreen2017@gmail.com. we'd love to hear from you. There's obviously links to everything else that we're doing on the Linktree. You can find that linktree.com/VerderNA. L-I-N-K. Sounds like Christian's in his iron lung again today.
I can't fucking win, can I? I'm just literally just sitting here on my couch. Fuck.
It just sounds like at any minute this could be your last breath. Like,
that's not necessarily wrong, in fairness.
We could hear a... and that'd be it.
Maybe I'm doing a poo again and I don't know it.
So the link tree where you can find all kinds of stuff that we're doing, linktree.com/VerderNA, linktr.ee/VerderNA, and you can access everything that we're doing there. Now, one of the things that I wanted to mention was that in the Werder North America shop, you can get the Chris Grob t-shirt, where I believe he's superimposed onto the head of Jesus Christ, which is a fantastic shirt that I am looking forward to purchasing when I have an opportunity to do so. And also, I'm not sure, Christian, if you've picked up that shirt yet or not, or if you have intentions of doing so.
I have not. I don't even think I've seen it. I probably should. I want to make some fucking stickers, man. I want to make the St. Chris Grob stickers. I'll be getting a car soon, which I probably shouldn't say out loud in case anybody's looking to slash tires. But I definitely want to slap a sticker on that bad boy.
Yeah, you can pick up the Christ Grob t-shirt, or Chris Grob, St. Chris Grob t-shirt at the shop there. And I also want to say a shout out to the followers. It's a big day for the podcast this week. I should say a big week for the podcast. We we surpassed 300 followers on Twitter. So a big shout out to Vincenta Sorellas, Monica Aversa, and Anna Kimple. They all have links that I can click on for cam chats.
I was just about to ask. Yeah. I figured they're either sex bots or like some sort of like right wing fucking Russian.
So
some sort of horse shit. Yeah.
I don't know what that means about the rest of the people that follow us. You know, if you guys kind of what that means about the association,
the fascist sex bots, all of you.
But yeah, a big week for It's Not Easy Being Great podcast. All right, let's get into it here. So Werder went into the crow's nest, the toothpick, popsicle stick, ocular traumatic stadium that is in Augsburg, and they came out with 3 points attached to their names. This means that Werder have managed to sweep the season series of the most detestable team currently pretending to be a Bundesliga caliber club. There is a more detestable team than Augsburg, but they have found their cozy home exactly where they belong in the second league. Since Hamburg remains ensconced in the second division, Augsburg have risen to take the crown as king on Turd Island, and it gave me great satisfaction to watch Werder absolutely destroy them on Saturday. Werder marched into battle with a familiar lineup, but with a different than traditional deployment. This is the second game that Werner has experimented with this structure to the benefit of a more enjoyable football and good outcomes. We'll get into some of those tactical ideas that Werner is employing later on in the program, but for now, suffice it to say, Werder was fun to watch. And this is for the second week in a row, which we can say truthfully that this is a novelty for the season. Goals from three different players and a heartfelt performance has once again got Werder fans jumping quickly off the Fire Ole wagon, disband a leadership campaign, and quickly jumping onto the European competition rail car. Not the first flip-flop we've seen from the fan base. Will it be the last this season? Christian, your thoughts on the game?
Ah, the dichotomy of man. We really do fucking... we really do just go back and forth between the two, don't we? I wouldn't hold your breath on Europe, anybody. But well, honestly, this is...
Your positive streak came to an end 8 minutes into the show.
That's right. Fuck you, positive Christian. We're back, baby. realistically, I think this is an example, and this is why I never bought that Werner doesn't have the players to win. I just never bought it. It never made any sense to me because I honestly expected a loss. I thought I picked a 3-1 loss, but it turns out I picked a 2-1. A little bit far off. And it was an amazing game. We looked fucking incredible. Probably the best game I think I've seen Schmid play this season. He was fucking phenomenal. All over the place. It's somebody lit a fire underneath his ass because he was just running. He was so fast. Passing was great. His shooting was obviously great. We were firing on all cylinders. It really was a lot of fun to watch. Now, once again, the bigger issue is consistency. How long can we keep this act up? I would love to see it day in, day out. A la Leverkusen this season. I understand that that is not realistic. So I'm curious to see, where we go from here, per se.
Well, sure. I think we've got, as a fan base, there's a portion of the fan base and a growing portion of the fan base that is sitting back and saying, okay, well, now show me, right? Like this club this season has gone in kind of spurts and kind of, you get two wins in a row and then three losses or two wins and a tie. And, and I think I even wrote it down somewhere what we – This season, there's been, I think, three times where we've got two wins in a row, including this one, and then we had three wins in a row, but then we've got like 4 and 5 game loss streaks, right? So it seems like there's this just really, hot and cold that happens with Werder. And the question is, we're going into the final 3 games of the season. So you won 2 in a row. What does that mean now?
Yeah. Right?
What happens tomorrow?
Absolutely. Right? What does that mean for the team? What does that mean for our coach? Who, that's the problem is when we have wins. Well, I guess not necessarily a problem, but it is a situation in which we will find ourselves that this does galvanize Werner's position as coach, because I mean, we played a fucking phenomenal game. And he's got to take some sort of credit for that. I mean, as much as I am maybe not confident in him and his skills, he nailed it to a fucking T this week. So did the players, you know? So, I mean, he deserves a credit. The question is, you know, is this enough to validate sticking around for longer than the next three games and what have you, right? I guess we'll kind of get into that in all sorts of ways in today's program.
Absolutely. There's got to be some good Ole bashing at some point in time in every program. It's, when you talk about winning being a problem for us, it's kind of like me and chopsticks at an Oriental restaurant. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? It's kind of like Werner. You won. I don't know what to do with this.
Better lose four of them. It's what we know. Keeps us humble. Keeps the sport pure. You know, this is the way it was meant to be played. Don't win too much. Because then we'll become commercial and we don't want to sell out.
We don't want to become too attractive, right?
Oh, God forbid.
And welcome to Dustin, who's joining us. Paul is here. And I already mentioned King Ian. VMX MGHKJ. That looks like somebody took their elbows and just mashed it into the keyboards for that one.
It's probably one of those new Twitter followers.
I can only hope. All right. I did want to talk a little bit about the tactics that we saw before we get into the three up, three down. And I mean, some people have talked about the change being that Werner has now switched to a 3-4-3. It's not actually the case. The formation is still very much a 3-5-2. But what he's doing is there's alternative strikers that can be pulled from three different positions that move up to create the third striker, depending on the scenario or how the ball is being worked forward. And so it's like a hybrid version of a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. But from the way it is set from the outset, when they begin working the ball up, it is most certainly a 3-5-2. But the third striker comes from the line of five midfielders. So the biggest reason Werner has as many variations in the attack is actually due to the presence of Leo Bittencourt, gasp for effect. I have had very little patience for Bittencourt. I've had very little use for Bittencourt, but this last tactical iteration of the 3-5-2 that Ole insists on leveraging is that he has now placed Bittencourt in a place that he can create additional attacking options. He's also playing Voltomat in the midfield five to again create additional options. So Dukes and Schmid remain up top continually, creating that two striker pairing. If the ball goes to the right, Weiser becomes a third striker. Bittencourt drops in to cover Weiser's position. This is not new. However, Schmid has not been able to appropriately cover behind Weiser in past games, and our right flank has kind of suffered a lot from counterattacks on this side. The presence of Bittencourt allows Weiser to again play forward and join the strikers as a wing player, which we weren't getting that when we had Schmid playing in that position. Voltomat playing the connection position and staying deeper in the midfield now allows Dukes to float rather than drop. Much more has he had, you know, kind of traditionally done, like Dukes when he was paired with Füllkrug. Although Voltomat isn't the physical presence that Füllkrug was, he's able to collect the ball, protect it, dribble, and connect some passes. And this is especially helpful when Voltomat plays near the left side. So on the right-hand side, Schmid has the ability to play and connect passes with Weiser and Bittencourt providing cover. On the left, though, traditionally, this has been where Steya is. And we haven't seen a great deal of play building happening on the left side, but with Voltomat floating and able to support the left, he can create passing options now between Dukes and Agu. This means now that Agu can serve as an additional striker should the ball be moved on the left-hand side of the field. In this case, when we're moving on the left, Leinen now covers his vacated area, Agu's vacated area, in a double six setup with Bittencourt, who drops deep. The two greatest changes in this is allowing Voltomat to stay deep and connect, relieving Dukes of the responsibility, which means that our passing rate has gone up, playing Bittencourt in a switching role with Weiser, allowing both Weiser and Agu now to move forward as he fills in a double six role with Leinen. you know, a reasonable, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Christian, at all, or if that's what you were watching out there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty succinct. I mean, you're always better at articulating this sort of stuff than I am. I just guy kick ball. Good job. No, it definitely feels like a different system, and you are seeing more from certain players in a good way. In a very good way.
When was the last time we saw a visor this active on the offense, and right? And not just in the build up play, but also like running alongside strikers.
Yeah. When's the last time we saw? And I know I already talked about him, but I'm going to talk about him again. Schmid. When's the last time that we saw him as effective as he's been the last two games? Honestly, I he was like sort of one of those players where I could have like if he left. It wouldn't have been a problem for me. But now I'm actually starting to see the guy that we were getting hyped on when he was playing in when he was on loan, if I'm not mistaken, to Austria. And we were bitching about him not playing any time at all. And now we're starting to see what he was bringing to the table there. We're starting to see it here. It's kind of crazy it's taken this long. But I mean, fucking let's keep going. I want to see more of that, please.
So a couple of comments here. Paul had mentioned that Bittencourt was invisible in his opinion, and that's absolutely correct. Bittencourt was not a focal point of the offense.
And that's this okay. Helps Berger. Yeah, that's totally fine.
It's a good thing for Berger. <That's-> The less Bittencourt tries to pass or instigate counterattacks, the better off we are. The other thing about it that I noticed was that Bittencourt wasn't getting completely fatigued by the 50th or 60th minute of the game. And it's because he's not being asked to run the entire field. He's being asked to run half the field and then slide in to protect behind Visor. And I think that also serves him well. So one of the things that comes up, though, with this new situation is the number of crossing opportunities that went absolutely begging, especially on the far post where Schmid is working. And it raises my interest. And it's one of those things, I don't even want to say it because of what a good game Schmid had. Right. But it raises my interest in seeing what Kovanatsky could do in that position that Schmid is currently taking up. I mean, there would be we would suffer a deficiency in the buildup. Schmid is a better overall, like a well-rounded player as far as connective play and buildup play. But perhaps having more of a killer instinct in the finishing, especially on crossing opportunities. And I think there's an argument that can be made that Steya, instead of playing on the left side, could perform in somewhat the same role that Bittencourt is in this scheme. And he might be able to take over his defensive responsibilities. You know, I think, again, Bittencourt probably brings a little bit more of a playful quality than Steya. But I think given what Bittencourt is servicing the team in this tactic, I think Steya could slot in there. The real trouble we're going to have is that we've got a tactical system now that's working, and it really does pivot around a player that's walking away at the end of the season. And
well, you know what? I hope our front office hang their head in shame. They should feel fucking ashamed for how that turned out. You know what I mean? And Werner should feel pressure for how that turned out. And he's going to have to pivot again. I mean, I have no problem, and this isn't necessarily like a personal thing against Werner, but I think coaches should be always under pressure to perform. You know what I mean? And that's no different with him. He should be constantly performing, and that's why we're on the show. That's why we constantly have his name in our mouths, right? Because we haven't always seen that. I think it's brilliant because, you know what? When they're pressured to perform, we see results such as this, ideally. If it's not going to be by him, it'll hopefully be by somebody that replaces him. And in this case, like if he continues to pull shit like this, then if he continues to pull shit like this, then obviously you don't replace him. Right. But yeah, no, you're right. It's sad. It's sad to lose Voltamata, but
you know, Chris,
I've moved on already. I've like accepted it. It's a shit sandwich. We had to eat it. You know,
it's a six of one and a half dozen of the other.
Yeah.
Werner made the correct tactical decisions in the last two games, and a lot of that had to do with how he decided to change Voltamad from playing him as a striker to playing him in the midfield, much deeper in the field, and allowing him to link up play. And the butterfly effect of that is what I just went through, right? Yeah. All of those other – that's all of a sudden what makes Visor a legitimate striker option. It's what makes Agu a legitimate striking option. It's what makes Dukes better because he's no longer having to create build up or link up play. He can just look at doing what he does, right? Just striking the ball or kicking a penalty, I guess.
Fair play.
And when I say a 6-1 half dozen of the other or a backhanded compliment is that Voltimat has been playing in the striker position now for how many weeks?
Yeah. Right.
And it was, and he's been on the team for how long? And we're just now getting to a place where this change is being made. And this has, of course, been one of the major sticking points for people such as me or other folks that have had issue with Ole Werner over this season.
Rigidity.
We'll probably get into some more of that, I'm sure, as we go along. But let's get into the three up and three downs.
ESPN Plus Originals. The exclusive home of the complete 30 for 30 library.
All right, Christian, did you have any downs at all? I figured we could start with the downs.
No, I did, actually. Nothing like, and I was kind of digging for them, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't necessarily, like, obvious ones. I was just like, we'll try and balance this one out. Because it's, once again, it's pretty hard for us to get upset with a win like this. But I'm trying to be fair and balanced. Uh-huh. You like that little hat tip?
If it bleeds, it leads.
That's right. Bill O'Reilly journalism.
No spin.
No, just hard facts. All right. So for bad, I said a lack of goals from open play, wasted chances in the final third, which is like fairly standard for us, to be completely honest. And I mean, it doesn't matter because we won. So you're going to ignore all the chances that you missed. Right. Yep. If we had lost or drawn,
nearly scored on too.
Yeah. Like there was, yeah. Absolutely. No, 100%. And this next kind of bad is more over the last, I guess, the season as opposed to just this specific game. Backline is inconsistent, you know, due to injuries or what have you. And that's like an overall complaint, not specific to this game. But we could, excuse me, we can see what it's like when we have a consistent backline. Our defense is actually significantly better than it's ever been. They played pretty well this weekend. They played well last weekend, but it's just a matter of making sure those guys are around, which feels like impossible.
I'm gonna blow up this myth right now.
All right, let's do it.
Because I saw people talking about, you see what we can do when we have a healthy back line, right?
Yeah.
When all of our defenders are back. So I went and looked. First half of the season. We scored 17 points in the first half of the season. There was only one game where we didn't have at least, at a minimum, three fully qualified center backs. And there was only two games where that was the case. All the rest of the games, we had four or more fully qualified center backs that actually play that position. And we got 17 points. In the second half of the season, we're already at 20 points. And we haven't had that kind of consistency. So people that are talking about how, I mean, this is, again, it's one of those things where it's like,
sure.
Okay, well, what does that do to the argument? What does that mean?
Yeah. You know what? Well, and also you got to think too, at the start of the season, we weren't necessarily playing Linen, right?
No,
we were playing Chris. There. Yeah, exactly. We were playing Chris Grob, who we know is while living saint on this earth, absolutely, blessed to the people that follow this club, is. Is not necessarily the same level of footballer as Linen, so you're gonna bleed goals. Absolutely. It's all right.
I had to dig.
Should be the first fucking button you press. God damn it. Our Father who art in Grob. And then finally, my last one was, I'm worried that the last two results will cover up what a mess the last few months have been on and off the pitch, which I think is inevitable, right? Like, nobody wants to remember the bad times. We only want to remember the good times, which is why we're all addicts for this club. It is a bit of a concern. I mean, there's always that, well, shit, maybe we're, you know, he's figured shit out and we're going to be top five next year, but I'm not holding my breath on it. Yeah. So that's my bads.
Well, I doubled up my third bad was this becomes a nice big reset button for many of the concerns we've voiced over this last season. And so I won't, you already talked about that a little bit. I won't get into it, but that is, it really is the case. When Patrick from Radio Free Visa used to say winning fixes everything, he's not wrong. Winning doesn't necessarily fix everything, but it certainly is like a real good solid baseball bat to the head, and you wake up and you don't remember what happened.
it's like a good couple of stiff drinks, you know. Yeah. Everything's fine, you pretty girls, ha 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 ha. And then you got a bit of a headache the next day, but you're not entirely sure.
Yeah, and then you wake up and you're in the back of a windowless panel van tied up in a gag, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Right?
There's a video camera in your face, and there's a giant scar on the side of your body. Oh yeah, I mean like every other weekend. I don't know how much more body I can lose at this point.
How many kidneys do I have?
Yeah, seriously. Or what are you putting in me is the bigger question. I hear a lot of clanking, and I know I'm not wearing any metal or jewelry. Half man, half machine.
Faster, bigger, we can build him. All right, the things that sucked. So that was the first one. Second one was, I thought there was a couple of really weird decisions from Zetterer. You know, fortunately, we remained unpunished from it. But there was two failed to kind of catch or punch off of a corner, and one rush out scene that was kind of chaotic. I just felt like yesterday, he wasn't on his top game. The rest of the team kind of rallied to kind of cover that up. But I think there was a couple of situations there where we could have really been punished, where he made a wrong call. And then bouncing off of that, the second thing was that our set piece defending on corners really isn't great. When I look at the stats, Werder give the fourth highest amount of shot creation opportunities from set pieces. However, we believe it or not, so even though we give up piles of set pieces, we are the third best when it comes to actual conceded goals from set pieces, which is wild. So, I mean, but legit though, I mean, it's the number of free headers we give away or half chances has really got me thinking that we've got some incredible luck this season when it comes to defending corners. So those were the downs that I had, really not much. I tried.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I was at too, in fairness, just make an effort.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what was good.
You know what? Funny you should talk so much about Leo before. I too had a lot of fun watching him out there. I put him as a good. Not that he did anything incredible. I think it was Paul that pointed that out, but that's okay. You know what I mean? I'll take him being invisible, which usually sort of suggests, especially if other people are doing the work, you know, he's kind of covering other bases, other territories. Yeah. And yeah, no, he was serviceable is the word that I use to describe him. He's useful while overpriced, but we own him now. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's like, I was trying to think of what a comparison would be. I don't know, like some sort of kitchen equipment you pay a shit ton for that you really get to use, you know, but when you do, fuck, it's great.
Bought something at an art store or something and it turns out to be a fraud or a fake. And so,
sure.
So yeah. You gotta really pump it up for all your friends that come over.
Hey, you like the new painting? Not bad, eh? Might have paid 10 grand for that. I might have. I heard it's by the artist.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. Second thing it has had was Schmid with a goal. I genuinely can't think of the last time he scored. I know we make so many jokes about him scoring in practice, but it's nice for him to finally get a taste, a little sniff of that skirt there. And I hope it actually whets his appetite for more. Like I said, he played like a man that was
to sky that thing. He just put it in the net. It was well done.
Yeah. Fuck. And I was a little bit heartbroken. it was probably, like I said, the best game I think he's played this season. Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch him. And I do hope that this continues to be a thing for him. I hope that it, sort of puts a taste in his mouth for blood and he's out to get it, you know? And then my third thing, I did feel like this was a bit of a stretch. I really try not to say the same shit week after week for good and bad stuff. And lately it's been a lot more bad than good. And you're going to hate this, but the back line looked decent. They looked all right. Exactly. It wasn't, once again, nothing particularly brilliant, but was good enough to get by, which is sometimes all you need.
Ben hates our backline. Yes. Yes. You found me out. I could only hold on so long, and with three games left, I'm done.
That's it. At his wit's end. This is time to take the mask off and really let him know how you feel.
Alrighty. So the things that I thought were great. So on the penalty scene, prior to everything that happened, Voltimaa does a phenomenal job keeping the ball in play and getting it to Agu. And shortly after it goes out, Agu makes an incredibly smart play with a quick throw before the defense is set. And it's also a super clever run that he makes into the box with a great pass. I mean, all around, an incredibly good example of commitment to the play at hand, not giving up on your team and fighting until the whistle to create an opportunity. I thought that was just a remarkable scene, how that all unfolded. And yeah, it resulted in a penalty, and that's what everybody remembers. But the three or four opportunities that Agu had to give up on the play prior to that happening, and he didn't, was just phenomenal. I also said the defensive line, so you've already touched on that, so I'll move on. I felt that the interplay and buildup along the wings created the platform for the win. For whatever stupid reason, Augsburg played with a back three. They normally don't, and they shouldn't have this last game either. It really played into our hands. The set piece for the first goal was won on the right flank by Bittencourt. The penalty won by Agu was a nice overlapping run on the left wing. The third goal, the original cross that started the chance comes from Dumont on the left side, but then finished by Dumont on another cross from the alternate side. Werder really did dominate the wings. It continues to be our Achilles heel, that we have got the ability to play crosses in. We don't have the players that can score off crosses
to finish them. Yeah. Yet. Who knows? Maybe Kovnatsky can, but we'll never find out.
Well, that's just it. That's why I said it would be interesting to see what he could do in that position. But yeah, we may never find out. Another thing, I've got a bunch of ups, by the way. Another one was smiles. Believe it or not, I have that as an up. Players that are having fun, enjoying playing the game. I mean, granted, I guess winning kind of has that effect. But I said it in the last podcast, the locker room, I think, hasn't been lost. I think the last probably three or four games have shown that Ole still has control of the locker room, or still has influence over the locker room. And the players are putting in the effort in the last three to four games. And in the last two, I think it's also started to show and accumulate on the scoreboard, which I thought was great. another up, honestly, folks, I got a pile. This is the first game since the last time we played Augsburg, so beginning of December, where we faced an eye-level opponent and we actually took the game to them.
That's a good one.
Pack the defense and play counter ball. We took the initiative, we engaged the opposition, and we tried to create opportunities, which truly is a break from the traditional Werder Bremen football that we've been watching this season.
Playing down and losing the Darmstadt or whatever horse shit. Honestly, and that's what keeps us, I guess, the level of Augsburg, is the fact that we lose games that we should be winning. And when I say I should be winning, we have the talent. We have the capacity, not buying that we don't have the fucking players bullshit. I'm simply fucking not. And I would love to, I've made a promise to myself.
Salty said Robin Hood is us.
yeah, seriously. Ain't that the truth? Oh, man. I've made a promise to myself where I'm no longer going to argue with people on Twitter. I'm fucking done with it, because it's just banging your head against the wall. I will still spout my own nonsense and my own thing, but I'm just not gonna pick fights or arguments with people about this club anymore, because there are people that are just set in their ways. I guess you could say that about me too.
No, we never say that. Because we're right? That's the difference.
And I honestly would like to say that I am open to change. But I mean, I need to have like a reasonable argument and some facts to back it up versus sentimentality. Yeah, exactly. In a Disney fucking ending, which we see so much of, unfortunately. Sorry, go ahead.
Last one that I had. Sene Leinen puts on an absolute click.
Bless that man.
Most passes on the team with almost the highest accuracy. His ability to move the ball into the open areas of the pitch, it helped us incredibly. It helped create space and the build-up play for Werder. He literally was the starting point of almost everything good that we saw on the weekend. His on-ball presence cannot be underestimated. I mean, he had 4 interceptions, 3 tackles, 4 clearances. The guy was doing it on both ends of the pitch, just quietly working away in the background, but kept Werder's defense solidified and positioning the offense with his passes to create some really nice build-up play. Truly, as far as when I take a look at the start of the season, I think Njinma probably represents the best kind of surprise package, development. Wow, who would have thought? But as far as value for money, value for everything that we've seen, Leinen is the guy. 100%. Yeah. He is my player of the season.
Yeah.
And he only played half of it, which is super disappointing.
Can you imagine where we'd be if he hadn't, But that's that man management piece again.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that. Give me 1 second here.
On air, once a week, we talk footy, yeah, so unique. Ripping on the coach from our seats, up in Canada with our Bremen beats.
All right, so this week, thanks, Geppy, for that. Just love it. Ripping on the coach.
It's a very pop punk centered show today, isn't it?
Yeah.
From our seats.
Don't want to be something American? Or don't want to be an American idiot. That's what it was. Green Day.
Oh, God.
All right. So Dinchy managed to do yet another interview with Dijkstube. So this now becomes, well, it's the second official interview that he did with Dijkstube, and about the third or the fourth time he or his father have been in the media talking about that situation or the developing, or I guess now concluded, situation with Dinchy moving on to Freiburg. And in this particular interview, Dinchy felt free to kind of go into a few different areas and explain why he chose to continue his career in Freiburg. And I think this is important to talk about again. I mean, I know it's all happy, fun times, and we got, 37 points, and we're tickling the bum of Europe again, and it's all very good. But this is what's still happening at the club. These are still real stories, real situations that don't go away just because we won a game. And it's something that should be noted right away in some of his responses, was that Freiburg were in contact with him like super early on. I think even before the winter break, he had said. So, I mean, at this point in time, he had kind of already exploded in Heidenheim, and Freiburg were immediately at his doorstep showing confidence in him and showing a desire to sign him. And then he does a direct comparison to the desire that Werder showed for him. And it seemed more to him like it was kind of like a foregone conclusion that he would return to Werder, which, I guess, to his point, is actually mostly the arguments that I heard from Werder fans all along when I was saying, I don't think he's staying. I think he's going.
But he's got a house, his girlfriend. Yeah, he's a Bremen boy. That Disney sentimentality shit. Like, they still...
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, he goes on to discuss kind of trust, and I guess it would probably be better interpreted that, when someone puts trust and confidence into him to do the job he's going to do. And he described how he had that trust at Werder in the youth system, and that he had it with Anfang after the relegation. But when Werner joined the team, the sense of trust that he had just kind of slowly eroded away. And he's now discovered someone in Frank Schmidt who's willing to put trust into him, and it has helped him succeed at Heidenheim. He then rebutted against the people that said he changed teams all for the money. They said that he liked the appreciation that Freiburg showed. And of course, everybody goes, well, of course, they should give him more money.
Right? Yeah, who's going to turn that down realistically? once again, it's, I know as much as people want this to be about loving a club or a region or a culture, fucking, you're going to turn down a job where you're going to play more and get money and potentially play in Europe. Why would you do that? And you have a coach once again that backs you, you know? Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Let me understand this right. Like, I mean, you can just even talk about it flippantly or openly about any business venture,
right,
or anything.
Right.
If you understand that you don't have the capital to pursue the top talent, that means you're going to have to supplement what capital you have with a way of making someone wanting to be there. Right. That's all you have.
You want to make it an attractive place. So if you can't afford to pay people a substantial amount of money, you want to say, well, look, it, we're going to provide all these other fucking things that are going to make you comfortable and happy, make your family happy. You know, we're going to make this a really desirable place. We want to be the top of your, you know, it's some like next level ass kissing type of shit, which is fair, you know, but instead we came with this sense of what's the word I'm looking for here? It's just, well, fucking, why wouldn't you come to us? Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just this expectation that he's just going to throw everything away because he's from the fucking region. This is not 1985 anymore. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, really, and I mean this genuinely, unfortunately, we are now in a world where money fucking dominates football. It may not necessarily as much in Germany, which is a wonderful thing, and I would say the majority of aspects, but then this is the sort of situation we've not chosen to adapt to. And we have that sense of expectation. Once again, there's a word that I'm just totally fucking forgetting right now. But this thought that, well, I mean, you're from here, so you're going to come back here. Why would you go anywhere else? You know, it's almost like an abusive relationship. Well, you're not good enough to go anywhere else. And if you do, it's because you're just doing it because you're a scumbag. You know what I mean? Like, it's a moral decision. It's fucking crazy. Oh, man, it gets my fucking back up.
Well, I spend a lot of time talking with executives and other stuff in the industry that I'm in. And the boomers and Gen Xers in there can't seem to figure out why they cannot hire Gen Zs and keep them on. And I keep telling them that my generation watched our parents work, live to work. Right.
Yeah.
And most of us are looking at it, trying to figure out how we can get a work-life balance. Like, how can I don't have to earn top dollar. What's more important to me is that I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in the people I'm working with. I believe in what we're working towards. Right. Like, there's investment, there's buy-in. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're looking at guys like Fritz and Bauman. You're talking about, again, there's going to be a Gen Xer and a boomer. Can't figure out why somebody like Dinchy, it's they need to do more than just give him money or do more than just, you know, well, we've put into you, like, you went up through our academy, so you owe us, right? Like, it doesn't work that way. You've got to give somebody something to believe in, and that's what I kept saying.
Make them feel valued in some capacity. If you can't give them the money to make them feel valued, then you have to make them feel valued in other ways. So there's kind of like a trifecta of what people say is like the best workplace. So it's the people you work with, the job you do, or the money. If you have two out of three, you're most likely going to have high job satisfaction. You know what I mean? And if you don't have those fucking things, of course you're going to want to get the fuck out of there. It's funny you mention that because my brother works in a very different industry from what you do. And he's actually, so his background is as a scientist. He now does something completely different. He works now in HR, but the company he works for is having the same issue as recruiting people because you have this old school mentality where it's like, well, I mean, is it just the name of the company enough? No, it's not. You know what I mean? It's not. Right. You need to do more things to make shit enticing for people, you know? And if you just don't do that, well, I mean, continue on your way, my friend. You're going to continue to have the same level of success that you currently have and continue to ask the same questions.
It also plays into the way that Ole Werner runs his club or runs the team, right?
Yep.
Where you have to sit on your bench and earn your stripes, even though you've demonstrated you have talent elsewhere. Like Linen is a great example. Steya is a great example of guys that have proven they've got the ability to do what needs to be done on the field. But now they have to like earn their keep or like pay their dues, you know. Well, the guys that have been here 3 or 4 years, they're the ones that get preference because, well, they've been here 3 or 4 years. The hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Oh, wow. I mean, he's not any good, but we're going to give him all the fucking time in the world.
That's right.
You know? Oh, it's absolutely my. And honestly, people are going to celebrate it. That's the fucking part that gets my back up, is we're going to turn this guy into a fucking god, even though he's not good. He's old. You know, it's crazy. So I was thinking about this the other day. A lot of people were saying, like, who's our player who's on loan to Juventus and playing for their third division thing? So you had one. Salifu. So there was this is an argument once again on goddamn Twitter, which is why I'm no longer going on there. And the guy was like, we went through a list of people who were like out on loan, not getting time, we're leaving and so on. And the guy was like kind of grading people to like bullshit grades with zero fucking information or background. But he's like, Salifu plays in the third division. And I wish I had said at the time, you mean like Chris Gropp, you know? Christian Gross, Fußball Gott, you know, the fuck out of here. Come on, man. You're going to tell me that a 23-year-old who's playing for Juventus on the third division, you know what I mean? That he's, and don't get me wrong, I'm no fucking fan of Juve, but they're a fairly accomplished team with a lot of goddamn money. So I have a sneaking suspicion they probably know a little bit more than we do, unfortunately, at this time, you know? Anyways.
There was also another article that was published by Visa Courier during the week that lasted, I think, 50 minutes, an hour.
Yeah, fuck. I wish. And I was so pissed because I literally posted a link hoping that either Michael or LeChef could, because I think one of them has a membership or something, and we could post an English language thing, and then boof, gone, just like that. And in its place, a puff piece on Marvin Ducks, if I'm not mistaken. God damn.
Which is perfect, because that's what we want to read. But yeah, it was another, the headline, and it sounded like there was a couple of guys from Vorum who were able to read it. I think Dustin went on to Reddit. So if you go onto Reddit and search for SVW, you can find where Dustin posted the question. It sounds like some guys were able to read it before it was lifted.
Ooh.
And they kind of give a little bit of an explanation there as to what they believe the article was about. And it sounds as though there's at least two people within the organization in the oversight committees or the supervisory board that are trying to paint particularly Fritz and what was the other name? Fritz and Hess Grunewald in a bad light.
Sure.
And so that will be where the sources were for the Dijkstube article that came out about Hess Grunewald, and where some of those leaks came from, where we said, you know, the supervisory board wasn't interested or wasn't blown away by Fritz's plan for the for him taking over Baumann's job. Right. So I think this is where a lot of the leaks are coming from, is from two individuals. But they lifted the article like right away. So,
yeah. If anybody has, if somebody can find the one on the Vorum, that would be awesome. I'd love to see just even it's a brief description, because I'm sure somebody nailed it some capacity. But I'm kind of pissed. And I was looking around for for the longest time, you used to be able to find, it's kind of like a mirror site. So when people post up the first one, there's like a second one in case the first one goes down. So I was looking pretty hard to try and find a mirror site for that article, but with no luck.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do need a Woodward and Bernstein right now, don't we?
Yeah, seriously. Honestly, I think it's going to come out in the wash in some capacity. Like, that's the second, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. So that's twice, what, in the last month, 2 months? The same sort of story, same sort of shit coming out?
And the other thing that was interesting about that particular article from Visa Courier was that it was written by Julian Beer.
Yes, who yes.
is one of the only editors that is critical of Werder Bremen. Yeah. And over the 14 years that I've been reading Visa Courier before it went subscription, he was the only editor, even at that point in time, that was willing to even tread into the waters of what's going on here. Things don't look right, you know. You know. So considering the source, I mean, he's also probably one of the only people that would be willing to write that article and then to have his pee-pee slap for putting it up.
Honestly. If there's anybody listening, and I'm not joking, if there's anybody listening, I'm going out on a fucking limb here. Anybody listening to this show that works for her. Yeah, exactly. That works for Bremen.
We can meet in back alleys. Christian is willing to do things that we will not talk about on the show.
I will blow your mind.
Or something.
Whatever hole you need filling. like a paving company. But if there's somebody out there with insight as to what's going on behind the scenes, what that article was about, we would love to have it, because we honestly, we at this point, not that we're like bad boys of rock and roll, but no. we're I feel quite comfortable in saying that we're not going to get an open welcome from the current front office of Werder Bremen anytime soon. I'm as much as we love this club.
Yeah.
So in that sense,
we've got nothing.
I have no problem. Exactly. Fucking nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. Because we do love this club. You know what I mean? Yeah, we do love this club.
We love it so much, we'll burn it to the ground.
I'll just put that shit on blast. Like, somebody has to clean up a mess, man. I work in a field where keeping most things secret or sitting on stuff is not good or healthy. You know, and this is 100% one of those things. This is a rot that exists, and by pretending it doesn't exist, it is only allowing it to rot and fester further and longer.
Yeah. Sunlight is the antidote.
Amen.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into some listener questions. Would you rather stuff like that before we turn it over to Sooner? We got some stuff from folks, which is great. So if you guys want to keep sending me these, it always makes for a fun end of the show. Listener questions. Here we go. What is the next? I think both of these come from Dustin. What is the next thing Ole needs to improve to convince he could be a long term coach? I guess man management, communication, talent evaluation, motivation, consistency, adaptability, flexibility, in game changes, etc., etc. What if you could pick?
Oh man!
I mean, if you could pick one thing, two things, I don't know.
I would say flexibility. I guess man management as well. Here's the thing about man management. I think with flexibility, you would get man management, right? You wouldn't be so stuck. I also kind of expect, I feel like that the man management part is directed more about Dingshi and how the Dingshi situation was handled. I also feel like there's other people within the club that could have contacted him. Would it be sweet to have the coach contact you? Yeah. Sure. Is that like a really good sign of a coach that wants to have a close relationship with a player? Not in like a weird, creepy way, but in like in a working professional way. Absolutely. But I mean, like, there's other things you can do to sweeten that pot. You know what I mean? Kind of like what we talked before. I think his flexibility needs to be fucking overhauled, because there is no flexibility. I mean, we only see it, as somebody else pointed, when he's under pressure and basically forced to be flexible, because otherwise we'd be playing the exact same formation, almost the exact same players, if it had the modicum of success by which he feels is acceptable. Anyways, I hope that was more an answer than a rant.
Well, the reality is that where Werner truly struggles, I think he has shown that he can be, you know, tactically astute. Mm. I think he has shown that he can get people involved in a game. Mm. So for me, actually, this might be a little bit, it might be evading the question. I hope it's not. I actually, if you're going to keep Ole Werner, if I was in Fritz's shoes, I would have taken a look at the last book of 2 years of what's happened, some of the stuff that's gone on, and I would specifically go out and hire for Ole Werner to sit beside Ole Werner on the bench, a guy that is 100% relationship oriented.
Amazing.
Nothing else. His job would be to build relationships with the players.
Absolutely.
Find out what they're saying, find out what they're thinking, have those conversations with them. Let Ole sit in the room and evaluate tactics. Let Ole sit in the room and consider, you know, how we're going to move this chess piece over the boards, right? But have somebody there beside him that actually knows what the players want, you know, knows what they want to do, all that. Like, that would be – you could keep Ole, but you need to complete the person, because he's not doing that part of his job.
It's kind of funny, because it kind of makes me think of Ole like he's Rain Man or something. kid on the spectrum who has zero social skills, like does not beautiful know how to mind. Talk to people. So, yeah, exactly. He's just like staring at the floor, talking numbers type of thing. So you need somebody to be like, so he'd really, you know, he's wondering, you know, somebody to charm people over, a better half, a yin to his yang.
That's right.
That's I'm not mad at it.
Absolutely.
I'm not mad.
So I would hire that. That's what I would be hiring right now.
Amazing.
All right, next question. What positions does Jantz need to target this summer, and in what priority? This is a big question, of course. We'll try to keep it
Oh, man, but, that's tough.
Let's say let's just go with the number one that you look at. What is the number one position that Jantz needs to target this summer?
Well, okay. And with Voltimata leaving and Dingshi leaving, a striker.
Yeah, we'll have to assume the tactic isn't changing. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. That's the other part of it, too. Like, what tactic are we playing? That changes a lot. But
everything,
Let's assume the same tactic so we at least have that for a structure.
Okay. I'm going to say because of all the signings that we made at Christmas, Voltimata and Dingshi both leaving, who we thought were staying, which is fucking insane. But anyways, I'm going to say a striker. Or an attacking player of a somewhat striker mold. You know what I mean? Because if you look at our midfield, we've got a pretty decent amount of people there. I'm going to assume, too, that we signed Skelly. I know people are kind of put off by his cost, right. But I think we'll sign him. I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think it's that wild. And I think we're going to have enough players leaving too. So I think we'll sign Skelly. So I think, I think we need, I really kind of hope that Dukes goes, and then we're going to need some strikers. So yeah, maybe one or two, maybe Kovnatsky will maybe get a better run out there, but that still leaves us with like Kovnatsky and Jinma, I guess Schmid kind of, doesn't leave us with a whole lot. I mean, some of the youth players like Inswin, but I'd be shocked if he gets any playing time anytime soon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if there was a number one that I would target, it would probably have to be striker. If the system isn't going to change, then the striker type is going to have to be Fulkrug-esque. It's going to be a big body target striker that can hold up play. Because we've found in this system, you need somebody like Voltimat doing that part of the job. But then on the crossing, we need somebody that can connect on crosses. And as I've said it before, I'll say it again. If there was another player like Fulkrug out there, could we afford him? No. What the fuck are we talking about?
No, it's true. And maybe a center back would be like the second thing, just because I feel like we can't have too many center backs right now.
For me, number two would be wing backs on the right or the left hand side. All right, let's get into would you rather. So would you rather see Cologne get relegated, giving us the chance to pick up a player or two from them? Or Cologne stay up and be a huge favorite to finish below Werder next season because they're not able to make any transfers this summer.
Oh, so they're
still under penalty if they can't make any transfers.
This is going to probably sound rude to whoever asked the question. I don't fucking care about Cologne. I really don't. I don't give a shit. I don't think about them. Do I want to like pick up players off their bench? I don't know. I don't think so. I'd rather let Jantz cook. I'm kind of done with us. And I say this only because, when we've purchased players from other teams within the league, within the last couple of years, it's been a Bauman-esque move or a Fritz-esque move. And they've usually been mediocre at best or like just okay. And wildly overpriced. So it was probably sooner judging by his answers in there. They got solid pieces, Kynes, Chabot, Martel, Carstensen. Well, you know what, sooner? Fuck you, buddy.
They got a pack of dogs. The one that yelps is the one you hit, right?
That's right. I mean, like, they're all right. But, I mean, I'd rather let Jantz pull out some cheap young guys, which we will be talking about. I guess if we're still doing the transfer rumors, I don't know, like they're fine, but like the money that these guys are going to cost is going to be huge for us. You got to remember for us to buy within the league is fucking expensive. It's kind of like when the English buy outside of their league, there's that English tax, right?
Yeah. I totally forgot about the transfer stuff. Christian, did you send me a message that you were going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. If not, no big deal.
Shoot. Cause I didn't make time for it.
Don't worry about it.
Well, we can tack it on too. I mean, who cares? Nobody wants to come sooner anyway. would you rather live in North Idaho for a year or in Gelsenkirchen?
North Idaho or Gelsenkirchen? No, I'm gonna go with Gelsenkirchen. I'm sure North Idaho's got too many fucking militiamen for my liking.
Would you rather? I think this is a double from Juan here. Would you rather pee out your nose or shit out your ear?
I feel like as somebody who's had a lot of issues with their ears, nose, and throat.
You too. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's probably this horseshit climate. I feel like peeing out my nose might be a little bit muckier than it actually sounds. God, shitting out my ear though, feels also like how close to the toilet would I be? Like, I'd be sticking my fucking.
Cases, I think you're probably close.
Yeah. Oh God. All right. I guess I'll shit out my ear. Wow. New to BIOS is why the throat. Because your nose and your throat are all connected.
There's a biology lesson for everybody.
Talk to fucking Dr. Tim. I don't know.
All right. Bet on it or against it, Christian. So Jens Stay comes back from his red card suspension next week. Bet on it or against it. Jens Stay will not be in the starting lineup against Gladbach. And here's the context. It would be only be the third time since the start of last season's Rückrunde that Stay didn't start when he wasn't injured or suspended. That's almost a season and a half that he's
been crazy.
Does he start next week? Bet on it or against it?
I'm going to bet against it for two reasons. Because that tackle is so bad. They may just kind of, and it's too, I love Stay. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he should always, and he won't because we're winning. That was actually going to be my, just jump straight to that. I think Paul's right. He won't because we're winning. And Ole doesn't like to change shit when you're winning, you know? And then he also doesn't like to change shit when you're losing. He doesn't like to change. Yeah, exactly.
Period. Bet on it or against it. If Dukes continues to look solid and averages a goal a game to close out the season, he will be a member of the German national team this summer for the Euros.
No, he won't.
I think he might.
Really? How desperate are we? He fucking went nine games without goals.
If they look ahead and they predict that they're going to go to penalties a lot, then they'll probably bring in Dukes.
I guess
that's what he can score. He can score penalties.
Fair. That's okay. I changed my opinion.
he's a specialty player. You bring him in just for that. Yep.
Just for that alone. He does some shit that nobody else can. He said it himself.
All right, betting on or against it. Jinma leaves this summer.
No.
The virus thing seems sketchy to me. It's like Keita 2.0.
Nah. He's not going anywhere. He'll stay with us this summer. He will go at some point. I'm just hoping that he goes for a decent amount of money. I don't think we're going to – he's not going to go yet. Because it just means it's another guy we have to replace. You got to remember that we're going to lose – unless it's like – absolutely substantial and we can't say no, like $20 million or something crazy like that. You got to remember that we need to replace Dinkshi and Voltomata because they were planning on bringing these guys back, even though they had other plans.
Interestingly, with the Dinkshi article, he talked about discussing playing on either wing with Njinma, like basically saying, isn't it going to be amazing that we're going to get to do this? And then when Dinkshi decided to go to Freiburg, that obviously ruined that, and he kind of talked about how they were disappointed. It leads me to wonder if Ole Werner hasn't already communicated to the team that they are moving to like a wingers style tactic next year. And that was the plan. It also makes you wonder if Njinma had this, maybe this idea of playing alongside Dinchi next year. And now Dinchi's not there. Does he have any investment? Does he want to go somewhere?
Nah, I think Njinma is just riding his high right now. I don't think he's that calculated. You gotta remember, this is a dude that came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And I think he's still kind of probably somewhat shocked to a certain extent that he's doing it as well as he is. Not that he's like lacking confidence, but I mean, it's a pretty big goddamn step from where he started to where he's at now, right? And his overall value and everything else. Yeah, I don't think he's like... Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. And put the ball gag on him and get him moving. Amen. And then Juan actually said, I think the fact that he's out at the end of the season will keep him out of bigger teams' minds. Yeah, I agree.
Fair point. Fair
I think point. That's a great point as well. He's going to fly under the cover. But I think in this next season, if he's absolutely tearing shit up like we know he can and will, yeah, no, I think people are going to be sniffing around. And I hope we put a big fucking transfer because we're a selling club. We are a selling club. I'm fine with that. I accept it. No problem with it. So long as we got like a little bit of fun in there as well. And it's not like selling to keep afloat, but selling to sort of just, you know, have fun. I have no problem with that.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you want to go sure. through the transfer stuff today? Do you want to save it for next week and get sooner in here? Your call.
Yeah, we can do it next week if you want.
Well, now you put it back on me. That's not fair.
I don't care. I don't give a shit either way, dude. I'm easy. Because there may be more transfer shit coming up. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's your tagline, isn't it?
Yeah. Only fans. I'm easy.
All right. Let's get Christian in here. Or not Christian. He'll get sooner in here.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner.
It's a rig system.
Maggot,
sooner. Nobody can do it like sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than sooner.
You totally accept the results if I win.
I didn't realize one of the things that they say on there, like they go like Walmart, the Gap. I think like one of the last ones is like slavery.
just very on brand.
It is a pretty fucked up song. this is the moment where I'm just going to check. I mean, am I doing weird things? Is it coming through clear? Is it good?
Well, I don't know. Are you wearing pants?
Okay. What qualifies as weird things?
Wait, yeah. Are you looking through my camera on my iPad?
Are you splayed naked over top of
is it your toilet right camera now? Or just the one at your desk?
it just seems like one out of every three times that I try to use this microphone, it's bad. So I tried it again today and hoping it was going to work. So
I think it sounds pretty okay.
Okay.
I decided after the last time I listened to the last episode and the volume difference between like, I kind of run in the middle, you know, Christian's got a really like loud volume. You come in and it's quiet. I'm going to have to start like actually producing this show again and not just cranking it out like I have been.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Which one of us is Papa Bear? Probably Christian.
Yeah, probably.
I'm a daddy, all right. I'm a leather daddy.
Oh, man.
All right, Sooner, what do you got going on?
All right. Talk a little bit about Gladbach today. But just really quickly before, I mean, because I know that, you know, Christian just kind of abandoned the whole, like, positivity thing. And I made a decision today that I was going to come on the podcast and talk about how nice my day was. I like, you know, was working around my, I was writing some things up while watching the Gladbach game. And then like, you know, the Cologne and Mainz game came on. I'm not sure if you guys know about Cologne and Mainz, but you know, they're having kind of bad seasons. And I was like, man, that's so hard for their fans. They might go down. That's just really, I felt really bad for them. And I was like, I'm really glad that I'm a fan of a club that doesn't really have to worry about anything
at all at any point in time. Smooth sailing, brother.
And, you know, and then I cleaned my apartment. I made a really badass grilled cheese sandwich. I mean, life is good, guys. Life is really good.
No, it's not.
Okay, so Gladbach, I'm going to try and be really short, you know, with my comments here. But Gladbach is a really interesting team. There's quite a bit of stuff I uncovered about them. Gladbach, this is just a good thing to sum it up. Gladbach are, they lead the league in, like basically outperforming their XG. Like their XG, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're outperforming their XG by 6.2. They have six more goals than what their XG says they should. That leads the league. That's so they're really good offensively. Gladbach also lead the league in allowing more goals than their XG allowed says they should. That's 6.29. So Gladbach is probably one of the most imbalanced teams in the league, because I feel like a lot of teams in this league are like, if you're a good team, you play defense well and you score well. Kind of like Paul always says, defending well, scoring well.
It sounds like Werder to me.
And if you're a bad team, you're shit on offense and you're shit on defense. Gladbach is like, they're good on offense and they suck on defense. And it's a really interesting. 14, this is an interesting thing that you brought up about the Werder's only allowed 7 goals from set pieces this year. That's second best in the league. But Gladbach has scored 14 goals from set pieces. That's tied for third best in the league. 62% of Gladbach shots come from inside the box. I think that's going to be real.
I was going to say, I just checked the stats on those two. And Werder, I think, are the third worst at allowing teams to shoot from inside the box. So that's good to know.
That's ideal.
Oh, okay. So I mean, I guess I didn't see that. I was just thinking that, like, you know, with Zetterer and our back line usually playing okay and pretty solid, I thought it was going to be an interesting. But I guess that you're outdoing me at my own job. I mean, that's
well, when you see things starting to fall off and get kind of lax, you got to take the sword down.
Got to right the ship.
Give him a chance, sink or swim. Obviously, sank like a fucking rock.
Oh my god.
The reality is sooner is that there's people on Twitter that are pissing me off. There's people like you that come onto Discord and piss me off, and then I go and I look at stats to soothe my soul. That's what happened.
I think that sounds like a really healthy way to work through your problems, Ben. I think that's a really
Well, my wife really won't listen anymore.
So I was interested because I came in having watched a few Gladbach games recently, and like whenever I see them, I'm like, man, they're turning the ball over a lot. Apparently they're pretty average or above average team when it comes to passing. But I feel like a lot of times when I've seen them play, they, especially on the back line, they turn the ball over a lot. I think this could offer a lot of opportunities for Werder to be aggressive, especially pressing with their with our forwards and some of our attacking some of our midfield players. I think that could be an interesting opportunity for Werder there. Gladbach, get this, Gladbach have 5 players with at least 5 goals this season. Robin Hawk, Alassane Playa, Jordan, Rocco Reitz, and Nathan Ngumu. For comparison, Werder Bremen have 2 players with 5 or more goals this year. That's just Dukshin and Jinma. So they have they've got a number of guys who are capable of putting the ball in the net.
Right, but which team has Dukes?
Well,
that would be us.
I haven't checked Twitter in a while, but I believe that's just us. Yes, I don't think there's been any special transfer made. I did forget that. Yeah, so we have Dukes. I always forget this. Frank Honorat is a really good player for them. He leads their team with 9 assists this year. Julian Weigl is also a really important piece for them. He's a central midfielder. Doesn't really do a whole lot in terms of goals and assists or stuff like that, but he's a pretty solid passer and a good tackler. The kind of stuff you want to see from like your defensive mid, central mid. And then Moritz Nicholas, who I think was like their third keeper coming into this season, has played 25 matches for them and has 113 saves. Which is 4th best in the league, which is, I guess, also in a lot of ways it speaks to the amount of shots on goal that they see. They have been tending to run a 3-4.
Again, that's also good news because I think Werder is near the bottom on chances created in 90 minutes. I think we're the 3rd or 4th worst at that too. So
this is what I'm saying. Like, this is going to be, I mean, like, let me go ahead and take this moment to say that I think this is going to be a really, really interesting game. Like, this is going to be like one of the games that I'm most interested to watch, mostly because like I think it's just like teams that are like built to like, there's like strengths and weaknesses, there's like yin and yang. Some of the things they do well, we don't do so great. Some of the things that, you know, they do well, we do well defending. I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup to watch. And I'm going to get to my lock. I locked this really quickly. Very rarely have I ever gotten a lock in faster, but it's because I knew that probably if I waited, the odds on it would drop. I'm going to go with, I feel very confident. This is one of the locks I feel more confident about this season than other locks I've made
good.
This season. Yeah. Werder Bremen to win and over 3.5 goals scored in the game.
Holy smokes, yeah.
I got it at plus 400 yesterday, like right after the Werder game. Today it's plus 330 because I knew obviously the odds on this are going to come down. Like if you the time to strike is now. Because I think that a lot of people are going to be like, "Oh, Werder Bremen probably has a better chance of winning this game than maybe we had thought." I just think Werder Bremen's playing better than Gladbach right now. Gladbach arrow pointing down, Werder Bremen arrow pointing up. We look more motivated, I think. We look more hungry. We look more engaged. Gladbach is faltering. They just played a 0-0 game today against Union Berlin, which, I mean, on some level you could say their defense is playing better maybe than it has been, but Union Berlin doesn't score very well. I expect a pretty open game. I think that Gladbach might be a bit more defensive-oriented because they're trying to make sure that they don't fall to 16th. I think that Werder Bremen, I think, is probably going to press a bit more aggressively in this game. I would like to see that because I think that Gladbach has provided opportunities for turning the ball over. I think a lot of goals are going to be scored in this game. Here are the total goal, the total goals scored.
I swear you're having a stroke the last 2 weeks we've had you on here.
It's like, you know, I'm trying to keep my health problems, you know, to myself, Ben, until I'm ready to open them up to the world. No. In the last four games that these two teams have played, here are the total goals scored in those games. 6, 6, 4, and 4. The last two, and the two games where the six goals were scored were the two games that were played in Bremen, like the game that's going to be played on Saturday. I think it's going to be a convincing Werder win. I just think this club is in the right mojo. They're in the right mood. Gladbach, they're more desperate, I guess, but I don't think they're going to be good enough to keep us from winning. And I think there's going to be a lot of goals scored. So Werder Bremen to win and over 3.5 goals scored in the game. You can get it for plus 330 on DraftKings, and that's my lock.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. Of the day.
My favorite part of that intrepid analysis was where you said Werder green arrow going up, Gladbach red arrow going down. I think that was awesome.
So I get paid the big bucks, people. It's that sort of analysis you tune in for.
I think that one of the things I've been trying, you know, I've been realizing from our listener base is that, you know, they have like the learning capabilities of kindergarten. Oh my God, how would I describe this to kindergartners? Okay, so Werder's the green bear. What's the most red bear?
What's the most condescending thing I could possibly say?
I love it. I love it.
You remember that, folks? Werder, green arrow going up, Gladbach, red arrow going down. Bet on Werder. All right, Sooner. Let's talk about the contest.
All right. So we've got this week we had six people picking up some points because we all thought that Werder would win by one goal. Shame on all of us. El Comandante, Herr Dr. Tim, Ian, Matt Miller, myself, and Struet. I still don't know who Struet is. If you're listening, which you probably aren't, because why would you?
I'd like to know who El Comandante is. We should just throttle this thing so he wins, or she wins, or whatever, so we find out who this is. Right. I mean, that's what we need to do.
You're right. So, I mean, like, if El Comandante and Struet, if you're listening, which why would you be, please reach out to us and let us know who you are. So the standings overall, as we're nearing the end, Matt Miller is the top. He stands alone like the cheese with 23 points in first place. Cacophony Paul has 21 in second. Dustin and El Comandante not far behind at 19 points. Le Chef and Christian have 18. Dirt 13 and Gepi have 17. Sorry, there's an emergency apparently in Chicago, and it's affecting...
Really? In Chicago?
Yes.
That's hard.
Maybe somebody got shot.
Yeah, that never happened.
No, not in Chicago. No.
In the wholesome city of Toronto, they just disappear hookers. They don't.
No, exactly.
Shooting.
No. Yeah. We have a gardener that'll take care of that for you.
I think it's BC.
No. Bruce MacArthur had his hand out here. Everybody quickly Google for your serial killer knowledge, Bruce MacArthur.
But wasn't there a guy named Picton that was from
BC? Oh, Robert Picton. Oh, yeah. It's now King Ian's neighborhood. Yeah. He was also killing hookers. We got a thing for killing hookers up here in Canada.
This segment brought – thanks, Tuner. If you want to jump off of that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if I – I'm just waiting patiently for when I can continue going over the standings.
Yeah, more about hookers, dead hookers.
That's like that Dirty Work video where Norm MacDonald's walking around. Oh, there's a dead hooker in this trunk. Oh, there's a dead hooker in this trunk.
Well, I don't know much. I mean, speaking of dead hookers, the Winnipeg Bus Depot is is getting, the race is getting tight. Ian and me picked up points, which separate us from Ben. We have 16. Ben's got 14. Condre got 13. Spivey 12. In 14th, it's a two-way tie with Mark D and Struhe. They're doing it conventionally, just two. No three ways there. Hair Doctor Tim's got 10 points. Lohena's got 9. Juan's got 8. Jay in 19th has 7. Big Ben, and then we have some people here at the bottom who their big strategy for the week was don't make any picks at all. Big Ben has got 6. Arun has 6. Muhammad has 4. Brian L has 3. And no one is. I think I've made this joke before, but I think Boring Anna thinks that we're going to have a draft next year, and she's tanking for the best pick. Boring Anna still has 0 points. I think maybe picked once and just lost and then gave up. So honestly, who can blame them?
Really,
life is hard.
Well, not only that, you get involved in a contest like that, and then you listen to this show once, and you realize what you're hooked into, and you probably just hit the eject button at that point.
we all need a mulligan, you know?
Thanks for making good life choices, Boring.
Hopefully we can join you at some point in time, but don't hold your breath.
All right. Well, I didn't have time. I've been on the road the last week, and I'm going to be on the road again this next week. So we'll see what I have time for. But I didn't have time to put anything together for Birder History. So we're going to call that a wrap. Next week, we'll get Christian, give him some space to talk about some of the transfer rumors that are beginning to swirl, which honestly, considering the last number of years for Werder Bremen, this is early. Typically, Werder waits a little while before they really get into the game. So this is kind of nice to hear some of the stuff that's going on. And again, for those of you that want to, like the Discord, if you want to just hop on for news and information, truly the Discord's a great place for that. I mean, guys like Michael has been one of the best as far as in the transfer thread, posting stuff that's going on. He obviously has some connections with Vorum, and he's basically keeping us up to date. If you're like me and you got sick and tired of bouncing around to 15 different websites to collect information, we've got guys on like Cacophony or Paul is fantastic. Michael is good. There's a bunch of people that literally post. They're like, it's a massive curation session that happens every day. Anything that's out there, we've got people that are reading it and they just post the information in the Discord. So you could just use it as a curated service and just try and ignore some of the other stuff that you might find offensive, but
which you would think would be most of it.
This is like Fox News is like MO. Like, you can find out some important stuff, but then like there's a bunch of other shit. Just ignore that, and then you can get some news sometimes.
You can find some interesting things digging through the trash.
Body parts.
All right, well, we'll put a cap on it or a lid on it for there. Anything that I missed, guys? You wanted to say anything on the way out?
Nah.
Absolutely not.
Thank goodness. All right.
Talk
under
to my
no
lawyer.
Circumstances.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us live, and we'll catch you guys next week after next week's game against Gladbach.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Have a good one, guys. We'll be right back.
tested. I'd like to think that if I was, I would pass. Look at the tested and think there before the grace go on. Might be a coward, I'm afraid of what I might find out. Yeah.